Psalm 118, we'll look at a few things by the grace of God this morning in a fairly familiar passage. Beginning in verse number 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. That's what the big problem nowadays. The big problem in Bible-believing circles, even. Everybody, Trump's going to fix it. DeSantis is going to fix it. No, Jesus Christ is going to fix it. It's just going to spiral out of control and get crazier and crazier. And, it's like just like the Antichrist. You might get a semblance of peace. You might think everything's are getting better because there's $10 more in your wallet than there was under the last administration or whatever. But Jesus Christ is the one that's going to fix it. Matter of fact, He's already fixed it in God's timing, because God's outside of time. Amen. It's already fixed. It's already as good as ever. Matter of fact, that He looks, He is the I Am. He's already outside the rapture. We're waiting to catch up with Him. Amen. I praise the Lord hopefully today. I don't mind leaving in the cold even. Amen. We'll take the batteries out on the way up and drop them off to the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. No, I hope they get saved. But anyway, Psalm 118, I want to see a few things as we go down through here again. In verses 1 through 4, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. And the first thing I want to talk about is His mercy. And here we are looking at a few verses here, and the first people it points out, it says, let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Then it says, let the house of Aaron say that His mercy endureth forever. And then it comes back again and says, let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Remember, this is the Old Testament. So Israel and the house of Aaron were separate. So Israel as a nation should say, the Lord's mercy endureth forever. And the Aaronic priesthood, the Levites, say His mercy endureth forever. And them that fear the Lord, the Gentiles in the Old Testament that feared the Lord, could get in through the Jewish system, and they said, His mercy endureth forever. Here we are in the church age. We're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought to be burning in hell like a piece of cheap bacon. But instead, God shed His blood on Calvary to wash away our sins, sent His Holy Spirit into us and indwells us, and we are in Him, in Christ, we're saved forever. So if you're saved, God's mercy endureth forever. His mercy He showed on Calvary, His grace He showed on Calvary endureth forever. Excuse me. So God's mercy. Boy, He's a merciful God. Could you imagine if God was like us? I mean, if God was like us and we were running down the interstate beside Him and checking your text, watching your video, switching lanes without signaling, and God was like us and we cut Him off, we'd be a grease spot. We'd be over with. Amen. But we do much worse to the Lord, but He's still merciful to us. And I'm not saying that we should do bad to the Lord. I'm just saying He's merciful. And Israel, Aaron, and others can see the mercy of God. Verse number 5, it says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. We see His grace. You ever heard of being in a tight spot? I mean, old David, he got in some tight spots. But you know what the Lord did? He set him in a large place. He broke the bonds of the things that David was going through and set him in a large place. We see God's grace, His mercy and His grace. Boy, He said it. We were in a tight spot. I was in a tight spot. I was on my way to hell. I had no hope, no help without God, and I called on Jesus Christ. And because of the death, burial, and resurrection, because of the blood He shed, because the atonement that was accepted from the Father, from the Son, of the Son's blood, God's blood himself, because of that, God has set me in a large place. Amen. What's the large place? He set me in Christ. I mean, I'm saved. I'm saved. And, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day, you know, I had a run-in with a Catholic guy up in Winchester. It was spiritual. I'd witnessed to a couple people. I wasn't even in the mood to witness. I was just looking for shampoo. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Y'all see, I needed it and didn't get it. But I wanted just to look at the shampoo. So the guy walks past. And then for some reason, some supernatural reason, amen, he comes back and he says, "You find some deals?" I said, "Well," he goes, "yeah, some clearance things." He said, "There's nothing really cheap." I said, "Nothing's cheap anymore. We got the politics started." And I wasn't in a Christian-like mood. I know that probably surprises y'all, because y'all are probably just right down the line, straight up. Amen. No, but you know how it is sometimes, and we're just trying to hide. You ever do that? Just try to hide? Well, we went to a little place. Thank God we have a large place that he's going to take us to later. Next thing I know, he starts attacking the King James Bible. Bear in mind, I didn't say anything about the Lord, about the Bible, about preaching, about nothing. I'm just sitting there just trying to find my shampoo. He's attacking the King James Bible. Then he said, the Maccabees and all this stuff. And I thought, this guy's confused, because he's talking about extra-canonical books. He said, but I'm talking about the King James Bible. He said something about Holy Bible. And I thought, this guy must be a King James Bible believer. He's just confused about the Apocrypha. But he keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And the next thing you know, he starts attacking the church. He said, well, you know, the Bible says that God has his sheep. I said, actually, in John it says he's talking to Israel, and he tells them that my sheep hear my voice, and other sheep I have, they're not of this fold. And he's talking about the church. He says, yeah, he's talking about the church, not the churches. And I'm thinking, that's not incorrect. That's not incorrect. He says, the problem is money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. He says, and that's what the churches preach, but they all want their money so they can have all their million-dollar mansions and their jet airplanes and all this stuff. And I'm like, not all churches are like that. I mean, there are churches out there that just love the Lord. I said, but you're talking about Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen. You're right on track. And then he said, well, and the Bible is the Bible, you know, the Maccabees and all this stuff. And I said, that wasn't even in there. I said, that was put between the... Well, no, it was in there. He said, but they left out seven verses. And I don't know what he was talking about. I don't even care. I said, well, I believe the book. He said, so you're saying the Catholic Church is a blank, blank, blank liar? I said, yeah, actually I am. And then he proceeded to show me one finger that I didn't really care for and cussed me like I'd never heard sailors cuss, about a foot and a half of my face. Now, I'm saved enough to get to heaven. And I'm not saved enough to take that sometimes. But I'm thinking in my mind, the pastor's not supposed to be a striker. I'm thinking, can we just apply that to striking a match on cigarettes instead of punching somebody? No. But because I don't mind that. But I said, you know, whatever. He said, well, then the Baptist. I didn't say anything about being a Baptist, about being a preacher, about anything. I just said I believe the Bible. He went off on a Baptist. And I'm thinking, this is spiritual. I need to get out of this. I need to get away from here. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with pride issues sometimes when somebody's right in my face. Two things aggravate me. Somebody that won't get out of my face, and somebody that pokes me in the chest. I shouldn't tell you that, because you're going to get mad at me one of these days. You're going to come up and go, and you can't strike. No, just kidding. But the thing is, he said, them Baptists, 50 different kinds of Baptists. I don't disagree with him. I don't disagree with him. But he said, there's a church tradition over the Bible. And I said, nah. He goes, well, the Bible was originally written in Latin. And I'm like, nah. And Latin can't be messed with. And I'm like, what? You ever heard of Jerome's Latin Vulgate? I mean, come on. But he got back on the Catholic horse and started riding that thing. He said, well, you're a blankety-blank Protestant. I said, I'm not a Protestant. He goes, what in the, you know, are you? I said, I'm a Bible believer. He said, oh. And then he started cussing the Bible. And he said, that Bible and this, that, and the other. And I said, well, at least that Bible's not a pedophile pope or priest. How about that? And boy, it was on then. And he got a lot of exercise on that finger for about 5 minutes in that aisle. But then he took off down the road and started calling me punk and boy and all this stuff. And I don't know. I just wasn't feeling real spiritual. And I started to go down the aisle and say, you know what? I'm like a whoop him and then tell him he just got whooped by a Baptist preacher. Take that to your priest. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not kidding. I did think that, but I didn't do it. I didn't try to even, whatever. Well, what I'm saying is I'm saved enough to get to heaven, but I still struggle. You know, I left there thinking, oh, well, one thing I said, too, I said, oh, are you a Catholic? And he said, yeah. And I said, I figured so by your language. And it was on. I mean, every time he would fire a shot, I'd fire something back. I wasn't on the fingers, though. He was. I think he'd already been to the whiskey. He definitely drank the Kool-Aid. But you know, the thing is, I left there thinking, well, maybe at least he got so mad when I talked about his language, maybe he'll think about it. I'm like, nah. He is the type of person that would joy in the Pope commanding to kill the Baptist. He might even join in on it. And I know not all Catholics are like that. I've been around Catholics most of my life. I understand that. But 2/3 of them that I've known, I'm not painting them all with the same brush, because I've known some Catholics that live better than any Baptist I ever met. And they think that they're earning it. But at least they live right. Amen. But most of the ones that I grew up with and were around were drunkards, whoremongers, and went to church every Saturday and wasted their time with the beads and wasted their time with their prayer. So I know pretty much how they're taught to think by their priests. And not all, but a lot of them are that way, a lot of them aren't. And I'm not against Catholics. I think everybody needs Jesus Christ. I got more against the Baptists than I do the Catholics. I mean, if you got the truth, you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you believe the truth, and you're not even trying to live the truth, shame on you. But when somebody's been lied to their entire life, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? What I'm saying is God's grace. I didn't think, you know, I didn't even get a chance to. I had a track in my pocket. Just handed a track out 5 minutes before that guy come over there. Didn't hand him a track. Not that he would have took it. Oh, man, we're a mess. We're a mess there. There had to have been a way with God in it. There could have been a way that could have went differently. I'm not taking full responsibility for it because I didn't start it. I was just looking for shampoo. All I wanted was a 2-in-1 shampoo because I'm lazy. Amen. Just give me the blue bottle of this cheap swab, and we're good. But we were in the wrong aisle, the bar of soap aisles, where we needed to be to wash somebody's mouth out, amen. But, you know, I found out something. It might have been coming out of his mouth, but there were some things in my heart that weren't right. I wasn't worried about him dying and going to hell for that five-minute period. But I did think about it afterwards. I'm telling you, God's merciful and God's gracious, and we are really lacking compared to the Lord. We really are. I'm not telling you that just to, so you can think, oh, our preacher's worthless. You know, you might already think that. I don't know, but I'm telling you that to say this is a real battle, and you're in the same battle I'm in. It's real. So when you have days like that, you're not alone. Because the devil used that stuff on you. Oh, nobody else does that. You're the only one that has bad days. You're the only one that thinks wrong. You're the only one that's not handing out tracts 24/7. You're the only one. Good night. We're all that way. We're all a mess. But God's merciful and God's gracious. We see His mercy. We see His grace. Look at verse number 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We see His protection. What can man do to you that God wouldn't allow? If God doesn't allow it, it ain't happening. It's not happening. I can go back and think of several different times witnessing on the street and preaching on the street, people spitting in my face and things like that. Nothing very, really, really violent happened. God's protection was there. You know what I mean? And even if it did, Jesus Christ is worth it. Amen. But the thing is, He protects. You know what the best protection plan we ever had is not, you know, when you buy a house, they offer to give you that one-year deal or whatever. You know, we'll replace anything in the house. You give us $5,000, we'll replace anything in the house under $500. whatever. You know how that stuff goes. Or we'll do 60% of it, not covering labor, 6 minutes, you know, whatever they are. But God's given us a protection plan that's beyond belief. How's that? Well, He put you in Christ. He put you in Christ. And the devil can't get you out. Oh, the devil can get you out of serving if you're not careful, but he can't get you out of Christ. He can't do it. So praise the Lord for His protection. Look at verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. The Lord's power. His power. We're in a battle that human means cannot battle this battle. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, you may well stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what it's talking about, it's a spiritual battle. We're in a battle that we cannot win on our own, we cannot fight on our own, we can't even stay in it on our own. It's His power. I know we're talking about Israel here, we're talking about the Old Testament when Israel was dealing with physical things. They were dealing with physical enemies, and they were going up against enemies that there's no way, physically, manly speaking, man's wisdom speaking, that they could defeat their enemy. And God would bless them. And God would take the minority of the people, the Israel. Sometimes you think about Gideon. Gets them down to 300 people and ends up whooping thousands with 300. It's the power of God. And the power of God's not always shown through physical might. It's shown through wisdom. Think about what Gideon did. He did exactly what God told him to do. You know what God told him to do? Take these 300 men and take these vessels and put these lights in it and break these vessels. Surround the enemy and break these vessels. And when the enemy looked out, they thought they were overrun. They thought it's over. They thought they were defeated. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to take the light and put it in a vessel so you can't see it. And you think you're defeated. He just wants to do the opposite of what God does. But God's wiser than the devil. God's more merciful and more gracious than us. He has a better protection plan than we could ever imagine outside of the Bible. And His power is all sufficient. The power of God. You know what you need when you're handing out tracts? You need the power of God. You know what you need when you're getting out of bed in the morning? I'm not talking about physical things. I'm talking about power of God. And physical things, we understand that too. But you know what you need when you're having that day like no other day? You need the power of God. You know what Israel needed all through the Old Testament? The power of God. When they had the power of God, they were undefeatable. You know what's going on right now? God's mercy and God's grace. Those people are undefeatable. I believe wholeheartedly Iran could fire a nuclear missile in there and God would stop it. I believe He'd do that. I believe that the United States, if they totally turn their back on Israel, people say, well, the only reason Israel is making it is because the United States is propping them up. No, Israel's propping up the United States. God's propping up the United States because of Israel. We've got this all backwards. The power of God, if any of the power of God that's ever been shown through this country has been shown because of God's mercy, God's grace, His protection, His power, because of the King James Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Israel. It's that simple. Well, the United States is just so great because it came up with these ideas. No, it came up with some Bible principles to live by and decided it would submit to those Bible principles. And God blessed it. One of the principles is, I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. He's talking about Israel. And that's why this country's still standing. As such. I mean, standing. Boy, I don't know. So God's power. It is better to trust in the Lord, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. His promises. His promises. Can you trust man? Even when at man's best, can you trust man? Even when man has no ill intentions, can you trust man? Because of pride. Because men will come up with things and go with things because of pride that they know are not right. Or they won't allow themselves to see the truth a lot of times. You know, most people, you look at the COVID debacle. trust man? Now they're talking about disease X. Do you trust them on that? Oh, it's coming. How do I know? They told us it was. They've already got a plan for it. Don't worry. They've got a plan. They got it all figured out. Probably won't be a shot this time. They'll probably just shoot you if they get you at Walmart. I don't know. But the COVID debacle, the Second Amendment. Oh, yeah, we got it. Oh, I trust them. We got a Second Amendment. They campaign on it, and then they compromise on it. And, you know, hopefully and prayerfully, you know, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. Now, as long as you're on the devil's side, you've got the First Amendment rights in the United States of America. If you say anything that's pro-Christ or pro-Bible or pro-truth, well, that's hate speech. That's hate speech. The other side could threaten to murder you because you believe the truth, and that's fine. But hate speech is anything that agrees with the Word of God and Jesus Christ. So, you know, can you trust man? And then, taxation without representation. Boy, we got that. They didn't call me and ask me if they should pay the Ukraine's bill. I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm just saying they didn't call me and ask me. I didn't even vote on it. As far as I know, nobody I voted for that's in office voted on it. Amen? Whether or not we stick with Israel, they didn't call me. I think we should, don't get me wrong. But they didn't call me. Matter of fact, the majority of the public seems like they're going the opposite direction of what the government's going. You trust man? I got the moon land. I don't know if they land on the moon or not. I wasn't there. All I know is I hope it's true, because I'm thinking maybe we could load the space shuttle up with some of these politicians and we could get them back up there. One giant step for mankind, amen? Praise the Lord. Load them up, ship them up. You know, I am more than willing to pay a little more taxes for a one-way ticket to get, what we need, 600 seats maybe, to get most of the politicians up there. And then they can fix the moon. Amen. Because you know how good they are at fixing them. They might even fix the next election. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just kidding. They'll break it. The moon landing. Evolution. Can you believe, man? That's supposedly science. If you count every time everybody in here changes their socks in a year, evolution's changed more than that in the last 10 years. Amen. It just keeps changing. Well, you know, a couple hundred thousand years ago, nothing blew up, turned into everything. And then we found Lucy. Of course, that wasn't really Lucy, so we don't need Lucy. We need another billion years. And then we found Neanderthal man, and this man, the other man, and this, you know, Pegasaurus rex, or whatever, they'll make something up, you know. We found this, that, and the other, a toe bone from a billy goat, and they built a giant thing out of it, put it in a museum, and do it with tax money, you know. That's why they're all plastic coat hangers now. All the metal ones are holding their dinosaurs together, amen? Because they ain't going to spend that money on stuff other than themselves anyway. They're just, it's a big scheme, a sham, scam. Evolution, you trust man? You trust science? Well, now it's gazillions of years. Gazillions of years. These so-called, quote-unquote, scientific facts that keep changing. There aren't really that many facts in science. The whole world should know that what science really is a progressive thing, not progressive like the liberals, but a progressive thing that is supposed to be seeking truth. They're not seeking truth. They're seeking the dinero, amen, and control. They're connected, amen. Science falsely so-called ever-changing facts. You know, most people that don't trust the government on COVID, they don't trust the government on the Second Amendment, they don't trust the government on free speech, they realize they've been taxed without representation, they don't believe, they're not even sure there's a moon landing or not, they don't really, you don't know what to believe about evolution, you know, they know they've been lied to here and there, and they know that science is full of baloney, you know, especially over the last couple of years, you can tell, because it, you know, follow the science. Nobody said follow the Lord. Follow the science. But you know, the people that don't believe all those things, the same people they don't believe are the ones telling them not to believe the Word of God. It's the same folks, the same group with the same motive. You can be like God. Don't believe the Bible and the God, and then they can be your God. But the same group of people that have the don't tread on me flag tread all over Jesus Christ. And they believe the lies they've been told by the scientists, the alleged scientists, the professors, the alleged PhDs and doctors and all that stuff, and the politicians. They believe all the lies when it's against the Bible and against the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're waking up on some other stuff, but they're still asleep on the truth. Isn't that something? Why is it? Because they want to believe that they have to stand up against the government for something. But they don't want to believe that they have to stand before Jesus Christ. But they will. Odds are in our lifetime there won't be a big stand up against the government. Or people taking their arms against the government, all that stuff. That's not why we're here, to save people anyway. But I mean, this world's probably not going to come to that before the rapture anyway. It's on then. They can have all the guns and ammo or whatever they want then. Let them do their thing. They should just get saved and get out of here. But they will stand before Jesus Christ. And see, the devil is a master at playing with people's minds through their pride. And here he is, and he's got everybody so confused and so afraid and so disoriented, if you will, with the reality of what's going on in this world about the, you know, the COVID and the Second Amendment, First Amendment, free speech, the taxation thing, the moon landing, the evolution thing, all this stuff. But when it comes to the Word of God, and it comes, and there are people on both sides, there are people ready to fight on both sides, they're ready to shed blood on both sides, some of them. But when it comes to the Word of God and Jesus Christ, they all combine and say, well, you know, I might be a liberal, I might be a conservative, but we don't believe that Bible. We hate each other on everything else, but we can agree on this. We don't believe that Bible. Even the ones that say they believe in God. Well, believing in God's not going to get you anywhere. Yeah, first of all, you got to know who the right one is. And it's right here in the Bible. Most people don't trust the people that are quote-unquote in charge, but they'll let those same people that are quote-unquote in charge tell them what to believe about spiritual things. Not realizing that it's all spiritual, but the obvious spiritual thing is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and where you're going. Isn't that funny? This just strikes me as odd. This tells you how goofed up we are as people. But see, we've got the Word of God, we've got the truth, and we've got some things. The Word of God does some things that science won't, scientists won't, and most scientists won't, and science can't. It can't. Now, the first ones, they just won't. And that's show God's power. This Bible can show God's power. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. You get over the end of the book, and God destroys the heaven and the earth, creates a new one. That shows God's power. Well, you believe in some fairy tale that somebody rose from the dead. Hey, look, if you just get Genesis chapter 1, you've got it. The rest of it's easy. The rest of it's easy. That's why the people that are so-called in charge want you to discount and disbelieve Genesis chapter 1. They don't want you to believe Revelation chapter 19, 20, 21, 20. They don't want you to believe that. But if you could just get your head wrapped around that, the rest of it's easy. I mean, if God can speak things into existence, it's obvious. If God created life, then He has no trouble giving His life and taking it back again. It shows the power of God. Science won't do that. Science could. You know how they could? The heavens declare the glory of God and affirm it to you this handiwork. Day in a day utter speech, night in a night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You can open that window right now and show God's power. There's a picture of Jesus Christ. He rose this morning. He laid His life down last night, and He rose this morning. It's the power of God. Well, it just accidentally happened to happen like this. Hogwash. The Word of God can do some things scientists won't, scientists can't. It can show God's person. You know what the Word of God shows you? Now, I know some people can't see it because they put their own blinders on, religious blinders on. But it shows you that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. He's God. Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. He didn't say, I'm the Father, the Father's me, and I can't be this place and the Father that place. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ could be two places at once. He was on this earth and in heaven. Right now, he's in heaven on the right hand of God on a throne, and he's in you. Shows this person. And people say, well, you believe that. You believe that God's a three-part God. That's silly. Well, you believe you're a three-part person. You know why? Because you can be like God. But you won't let God be God. In your thoughts. So the Word of God shows God's power. The Word of God shows God's person. The Word of God shows God's perfection. It shows God's perfection. Really, science can show that, but they won't. But the Word of God shows His perfection. It shows His holiness. I'm not talking about just maturity. I'm talking about holiness. That's another reason people hate the Bible. Because we know the Bible's true, and in their mind, if I let that Bible be true, I'm a bigger mess than I could ever admit to. Because the one that created me doesn't have bad thoughts, doesn't have bad intentions, doesn't fight unwarranted pride, doesn't. And this person that doesn't do all the bad stuff that I do, this entity that has say over everything in the final, at the end, this person's going to judge me. Ooh. You know what they're doing? They're running from the law. They're running from the law. You see, watch those old cop shows and stuff. That was funny. We haven't watched TV for years, but there used to be a thing called Bait Car. You ever watch that? Bait Car. They would put a car out in a bad neighborhood, and they would watch. They put a camera in it, watch the thugs get in it. Boy, they'd jump in that thing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. They'd drive off, and then the cops would shut it down. Whoop! And then they'd get around, and they'd go, and they get the driver out, and the rest of them be like, we don't know him. We just got a ride from him down the road, you know. And I'm like, dude, they got you on camera. We just testing the brakes on it. We just looking at it for grandma. You know, well, grandma stole the car then. Where's your grandma? We're going to arrest you all, man. But then one of them get out and run. They already got him on camera. You get out and run. And they think, are you never going to catch me? Or what's even better is when they get them, they've got their driver's license, they're running their driver's license, they're sitting there looking at their license plate, if they have one, if it's even their car, but they got their driver's license, or they got their name tattooed on their neck, you know. They know who they are from mug photos, and they run off like they're never going to find me. Dude, they know who you are. You're going to have to go to the clearance aisle at Walmart the rest of your life to hide from the cops. Amen. Because that's the only place I can't find my wife is when she's at Walmart. But, you know, that's the thing. They run like they're never going to get caught and they're never going to pay for their crime. That's what the world does. And you know what? God knew before they ever got their bill filled out what was on their driver's license. God knows who they are. God knows who we are. He knows everything about us. That's more chilling than not having batteries in the thermostat, isn't it? But they want to hide from it. But that Bible shows the power of God. It shows God's person. It shows God's perfection. It shows man's condition, which is the opposite of God's perfection. Diametrical opposition. It shows man's condition. And man don't want to admit that. You know, sometimes I tell you a story like I told you about the Walmart thing. I'm a little bit scared to do it because I'm thinking you guys are going to go home and go, man, we got to get to preach. We got to go to a church that's got somebody decent, you know, because this guy's an idiot. Well, praise the Lord, we're in good company, man. To God, we're all idiots, amen. I didn't go to Walmart looking for that, amen. And I don't think generally we do. But that Bible shows man's condition. You know what else it shows? It shows the answer to man's condition. And the answer to man's condition is one of the most attacked things after Genesis chapter 1 that the Bible offers, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the answer right there. You know, I do. I talk to people often. Weekly, at least, that don't know the answer to God's position, man's condition, and they go to church every week. They don't know the answer. They think the answer is giving their money, their alms, if you will, sending money around the world, trying to save the tree, trying to be a good steward. You know, the paper, plastic, collect crowd, you know. I say burn it all. Put it on your trash can and burn it. Let's get it over with. It doesn't matter. God's going to be in this place. It's not going to be recycled paper, plastic. I talk to them all the time. They don't know the answer. But you know what I found out? It's kind of strange. A lot of people go to church and they don't know their condition. I mean lost people. Don't you think lost people ought to know they're going to hell? You know, if you just drug 100 people in here off the street, but you said, hey, we got something free in here, and 100 people showed up off the street, you know, by the time we got through preaching on hell, 75 of them will leave. Just random people. They'd leave. Because they've already been told there is no hell. Or God's so merciful and good, and he is, but he's so merciful and good, they forget the just part, that everybody's just going to get in. Well, they forget the just part. He just has to judge you. And if you're lost, you go to hell. But it shows man's condition. It shows the answer to man's condition, which is Jesus Christ. You know what else the Bible's able to do that science can't? No. Let me rephrase that. You know what else the Word of God is able to do that science can't? Save your soul. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the only one that can save your soul. He's the only one that can pay the debt. He's the only one that can have the satisfactory offering. He's the only one that can make that atonement. And he was the only one that would and did. The Word of God saved your soul. Science can't save you. They think they can. What was it, Walt Disney had his head frozen or something? I think it was frozen before he died. Amen? Upstairs anyway. And he definitely, if he thawed out now, he'd be disappointed in what's going on at Disney. Amen? Disney World or whatever. What a mess. I mean, this place is a giant dumpster. Just full of hog pen. This is a mess. And we're just getting better and better and better. Yeah, right. But the Word of God will save your soul. You know what else the Word of God will do that science can't? Science thinks they can. Well, one of these days you're going to live forever. And Elon Musk and people like that, I hope he gets saved. I know him and Jordan Peterson seem to be kind of on that track, but they're not saved. Not that I know of. I don't believe either one of them is saved. But Elon Musk has life because of this evolution and all this anti-Bible garbage in the world. He's got life condensed down to your thoughts. To where if they can just transfer your thoughts to a computer, you can live forever. Well, the only way a computer can have a soul is if it's the Antichrist. I'll tell you that right now. And then they talk about making life, and you know, science is going to make these leaps and bounds over the next few years. We're here with DNA. Boy, don't believe everything you hear about DNA. That's one of the biggest lies the devil ever told about, you know, when it comes to nature versus nurture, let me tell you what usually wins out. It's nurture. It's not because, and that's just an excuse to be a wicked heathen. Well, it's all born that way. It's genetic. No baloney. Hey, look, let me tell you something about genetics. I was a doctor. I sat across the table from people, thousands of people, hundreds at least, that couldn't control their fork and what they stuck it in. And what they put in their face with it. And they were on 10 different medicines from the medical doctors because they were genetically grown to have this disease, that disease, that the other. No, what happens was your mama lived on mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie, and you're living on mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie, and you're drinking hog fat straight off the bacon, and that's what mama did, and that's what grandma did, and it looks genetic, but the truth is the only thing that's genetic is the sin nature and not listening to God and not having any self-control, not being able to control the flesh. And they're making money off you. They're making the pharmaceutical companies, the medical associations, they're making merchandise of people by not telling them the truth, and half of them don't even know the truth that are supposedly running it. Blame it all on genetics. You know what they're saying? God caused it. Adam had the perfect gene sequence, and he messed everything up. Amen. Well, you know, genetics, and we're going to do this genetic hogwash. Well, you're predisposed to this. I agree with that because you're wicked. You got the sin nature of Adam. You're predisposed to be a heathen and live like one. And there's only one way to fix it, and a pharmaceutical company's not going to do it. Science is not going to do it. Jesus Christ is the only one that can and will do it. That Bible will show you how to get saved. It'll show you how to see. It will seal. The Word of God will seal your faith. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, praise God. You ought to be jumping up running for that one. Because if you're saved, the Word of God has already put you in heavenly places. You're forever to be with Christ Jesus. But you know what? When they stand at the judgment seat of Christ that are saved, God's going to say, well, your fate, as far as your reward, has been sealed. And if you just followed my book, you could have had more to lay at my feet. But when the lost go to that great white throne judgment, this book right here sealed their fate. You know what it says? He that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of the Son of God. Science can't seal your fate. I mean, physically they can. Just get 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 more boosters, man, for the disease X. I didn't say a whole lot because I'm your pastor and not your doctor. But when this mess first started, there was a lot of stuff that was wrong, period. I'll just tell you again, when disease X comes out, probably right before the election. Let me just tell you this. When they start that stuff about you could have it for 6 years and transfer it and not know it, they're lying. I'll tell you what I was taught. I knew this before I went to school. But I was taught in a doctorate program by medical doctors in public health and in virology and in microbiology that if you're asymptomatic, you're not spreading it. If you're not coughing, you don't have a fever, you're not spreading it. But they say, well, you know what it is? You know how to control people? The fear. Skin for skin. That's what Job said. All that a man hath, he'll give for his life. You know, people say, well, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. When it comes to government, I agree, but I'd rather live on my knees before Jesus Christ. I'm not bound to the government. I'll pay my taxes. I'm an American. And I don't hate America. I despise the stuff that America does, a lot of it. And I'm not real fond of being taxed without adequate representation. And I don't really care if they cheat on the election. I'm looking for Jesus Christ anyway. And I know He's the one that's going to fix it. But it's the Word of God. Word of God. I'm telling you, you've got it good. You've got it good because you believe God gave you a book. You've trusted His Son. You're counting on His blood. You're not counting on anything else. You're counting on the blood of Jesus Christ. You're counting on death, burial, and resurrection. You got it good. All those people out there that deny Christ and reject Christ, and a lot of them say they're Christians. Amen. You might identify as one, but like another preacher said here recently, just because you identify as something don't mean you are. You know, my pronoun is He saved me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Word of God can do some things that scientists won't and science can't. Shows God's power, shows God's person, show God's perfection, show man's condition, show God's answer to man's condition. And it's the answer, not an answer. Save your soul. It'll seal your faith. If you, it'll seal your faith too, but it'll seal your faith. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, your faith is sealed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm in the Father's hand, no man can pluck me out. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish. I'm one of His sheep that are not of the original fold. Amen. I've been grafted in through the blood of Jesus Christ. I come from a corrupt tree, and He put me in a good tree with good roots, gave me the rock to grow on and to stand on and to live for. We got it good. It was Mr. T. I pity the fool that believes the people who have lied to him about everything else. When they lied to him about the Bible, they choose to believe it. All you got to do is open it up and read it and ask God to show you. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. Let God be true and every man a liar. They don't know what they've got. And again, I'll say, isn't it funny? Even the atheists own books like the Cookbook Bible, the Shooter's Bible, the Woodcrafting Bible, the Pinterest Bible. I mean, they write books, and they all call it the Bible. You know what they're saying? This is the book of all books about that. And you know where they're stealing it from? They're stealing it from the book of all books, the Bible. Even the atheists have that stuff. But they're missing out. They're missing out because they're choosing to believe a lie. They're choosing to believe a lie. Now look, I'm like you. I struggle with the truth sometimes, figuring it out. And I struggle with applying it a lot of times. But I believe it. And I'm glad I've got it. I'm not without hope in any situation because I have the truth. You're not either. You're not either. God's mercy, God's grace, His protection, His power, His promises.